I'm John Bassett with Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. We go immediately to Taiwan, joined by our colleague, Charles Burton, the McDonnell Laurier Institute. We're on the eve of the Taiwanese presidential and legislative election scheduled mid-January. And there are so many candidates, and there is so much movement right now in the contest. I need Gordon's help. Gordon, I've read the Guardian piece you sent me. I'm lost. I have the DPP. That's now in authority. And I remember the DPP winning in 2004, the only time I've been in East Asia. However, this election looks to be extremely oversubscribed. Who are the opponents, Gordon? Thank you.
Yes, nobody knows what's going on, John, so you're in very good company. There are now two opposition candidates. There's the Taiwan People's Party, Ko Wen-jae, who was a very popular mayor of Taipei, but who has lost popularity recently. And then there is the Kuomintang, the main opposition party. And their candidate is Ho Yao-yi, who is a pretty unpopular folk. But nonetheless, he is he's got support within the KMT. The reason why this is so chaotic is that the two opposition candidates, who are pretty much pro-China, had agreed to form a unity candidate. Candidacy, but they failed to do that, so they are now running in opposition to each other. And this is a free-for-all, and really, although the polls are all over the place, no one really knows what's going on.
You have a question for Charles Gordon.
Charles, what's going on?
Well, I mean, it's a very confused situation. I mean, the DPP under Tsai Ing-wen, who had two terms and is therefore not eligible to run anymore, is currently polling at about 35%. Which, you know, is typical for a regime that's been in power for a long time. They're tired, and voters would like to see something fresh. But the fresh alternatives are highly irregular. I mean, with Mr. Ko Wen-jae, who is a party of himself but a popular mayor, he has declared that he suffers from Asperger's syndrome, although I don't think that's been medically confirmed. But he's a remarkable figure, a very distinguished medical doctor and professor, and a very prominent political commentator who has been a member of the Democratic Progressive Party, in other words, the opposition party, and is now talking about reviving the trade deal that China tried to get Taiwan to buy into back in 2013, 2014, which would have led to very strong integration of Taiwan's economy with that of the PRC that led to the sunflower movement in Taiwan that resulted in students occupying the legislature for 2 weeks and the government of the day withdrawing from that agreement. The other candidate, Ho Yao-yi, is a longtime member of the Kuomintang who joined under Chiang Kai-shek, has also dallied with the Democratic Progressive Party, but represents the Nationalist Party, whose attitude towards China is, as you say, seems to be pro-China, but it's impossible to be pro-China in Taiwan because there is virtually no support for any notion of Taiwan's becoming a province of the People's Republic of China. So it's a confused situation, and who's going to win this election is hard to say, and what will happen afterwards is also hard to say. But the mainland regards the Democratic Progressive Party, which is currently on the lead, as independentists of independentists, and seems to be implying that if that party gets into power, and particularly with their very dynamic and progressive vice presidential candidate, Ms. Xiao, that this might, in fact, hasten China's desire to put an end to the tendency towards Taiwan wanting to regularize the status quo of Taiwan as really an independent political entity with a very, very different political culture, a healthy, democratic, and free political culture that doesn't exist in mainland China. I'm in Taiwan now as we speak, and I'm hearing some very, very negative feelings towards the Chinese Communist Party among people who are, in fact, elected representatives of the current government. The tensions are rising, not just militarily, but I think culturally. And this situation is very messy and very unfortunate.
Charles, can you see the mainland's hand in any of these candidates being pushed around? Is there any connection made in public about these candidates in the mainland?
I mean, it's always the elephant in the room that the mainland is able to engage in various forms of economic coercion because so much of Taiwan's economy is dependent on China and so much of Taiwan's business is manufacturing is done inside China. And there's a large proportion, quite a significant proportion of the population of Taiwan that actually is resident in mainland China. And so behind all of these candidates, there are prevailing economic forces that are trying to influence their political programs and weaken them politically and make them more open to mainland subversion. But, you know, the mainland has not been completely successful in this regard. But if that economic proposal of 2013 was actually revived under Ko Wen-je, which, you know, I completely don't understand why this thing has come back, that would, in fact, very much strengthen the mainland's possibility of subverting Taiwan and softening Taiwan to the extent that they might be able to annex Taiwan without a dramatic military effort.
Gordon, you have a question.
Charles, you mentioned Ko, and you mentioned the Sunflower Movement, which prevented Taiwan from actually adopting, you know, strong economic relations with China. Ko actually was against that economic trade agreement back then. He was very much in favor of the students who occupied the legislature, the Sunflower Movement, which actually changed Taiwan politics dramatically. And now he's done a 180. It seems that Ko, who was once very popular, is now being criticized actually for vacillating and for not being at anywhere or being everywhere at the same time. Nonetheless, he's probably in the number two position in the polls. Do you see that he'll be able to recover and actually win?
I mean, with Taiwan politics, you can never tell. I mean, you know, recall in the past when they've had candidates who may have faked assassination attempts to win support. I mean, it's a wild and crazy democracy here in Taiwan, and I don't think we can count anything out. But Mr. Ko changing his position so dramatically is very, you know, I mean, how is this possible? And aside from which, you know, clearly the Sunflower Movement is something that's strongly supported by the populace at large. But I think we're now in a situation in Taiwan where people are somehow in a kind of political denial about the enormous threat that the mainland is posing to Taiwan, including all of the military exercises and increasingly dangerous maneuvering and preparations for annexing Taiwan. And people here in Taiwan just seem to be inured to it. And as a result, this crazy politics seems to go on, and people are not insisting that their political candidates get serious about the real political issue for Taiwan, which is how do they maintain their democracy and freedom in the face of an increasingly powerful and subversive Chinese engagement with Taiwan, not to speak of concerns about where the U.S. will be on Taiwan after the next election. You know, there are just so many huge issues here that all of the irregular and unstable and sometimes crazy politics does seem to be of concern that the place just doesn't seem to understand what's really important in their politics and how to preserve the beautiful, thriving, peaceful, diverse democracy that Taiwan has here.
We have less than a minute, Charles. They see Hong Kong. They see the democracy in Hong Kong was crushed and that Hong Kong is broken. Do they talk about it on television in the debates? We have less than a minute.
It is talked about, but I mean, there has been, you know, Taiwan has not been welcoming Hong Kong dissidents to move to Taiwan for refuge, I think, because they're concerned about the mainland response. And I think there again, you know, obviously what the communists are doing in Hong Kong is what they would start to do in Taiwan.
Right.
People don't seem to fully appreciate the implications, in my judgment.
Charles Burton is in Taiwan. Charles Burton's at the McDonnell Laurier Institute in Canada. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,